Hey, what's up? It is not Friday. In fact, you're listening to a bonus episode of the Touch Arcade Show. I'm your host, Brad Nicholson. And I'm joined today by two of my lovely co-hosts, as usual, Eli Hodap.
What up?
And Jared Nelson, the bearded one.
Hello.
We're going to be talking to a cat named Peter Skinner today. He's the, I don't know, what would you say, the big dog at 10-1 Design, the czar of awesome?
It sounds like they're a pretty small company, so I don't even know if they... If there is a big dog,
The big and little dogs.
If he is
the big dog by default,
by default, yeah, he's the bulldog of 10-1 Design. And as you might or might not know, these dudes are the creators of the Fling and the Fling.
Several other accessories as well,
and the Pogo Sketch. That's a big one. They also do a little sound attachment for the iPod and the iPhone that enhances or boosts the quality of sound, I suppose, that comes from the device. And we're going to be talking to them a little bit about their company, how they approach things, the products that they make, and, you know, whatever comes up.
A couple of cases as well that work in conjunction with their stylus.
There you go. They got a lot of stuff going on, basically. And it'll be neat to hear from them to see exactly what's going on in that studio's. So we'll be joined by Peter pretty soon. Just thought we'd set the mood here at the beginning. Talk about whatever. I don't know. What's been going on in your lives, bros? What's been going on in your lives?
I've been anxiously waiting to record all day.
Same here. Jared just laughs. I tell you what I did today. Here's the big thing. Mm. I took my cats to the vet. It was vet day for the cats.
Mm.
And Hannibal the Barbarian. Hannibal is not fond of people. It's not fond of needles. It's not fond of cages. It's not fond of leaving the apartment. It's not fond of the smell of other animals. So taking it to the vet is an experience.
Sounds like a friendly cat.
Yeah. Well, you know what? She's a little sweetie at home. Real nice. Being sure. Hannibal. But you get that thing out in public. I mean, she was hissing and screaming so badly she was drooling in the vet.
Oh, no.
Like it was hardcore. I've never seen a cat that angry in my life.
And my cat drools, but only when he's really into me petting him. He gets like so like calmed down and relaxed. He drools.
See, now Genghis the Mighty, my other cat, it drools when I pet it. But Hannibal's a bad boy. You know, big dog.
How do we segue from cats to
Peter Skinner? Big dog?
You can segue from cats to anything seamlessly.
Big dog
every time.
Chasing all the cats.
Yeah, chasing all the cats. He's coming up. So follow us around the break here, and you'll get to hear our conversation. It's exciting stuff, guys. Join us around the bend. Welcome back to the Touch Arcade Show. Peter, you're with us. And real quick, though, we need a point of clarification here. We were talking before you came on about what your title was. I suggested it was Big Dog or Czar of Awesome at 10-1 Design.
You said Top Dog.
Well, you know, Big Dog, Top Dog, you know, Dog. Well,
I started as Big Dog, but I didn't feel like it was, you know, prominent enough. Uh-huh. Actually, you know, there was Top Dog. And I had to fire him because I wanted his name. So I got promoted from Big Dog to Top Dog. And I'm thinking of, you know, the Czar sounds really great. So
okay,
I'm look into that.
Okay, cool. So if I join your company, what do I get? Like, what's my title? Can I be like,
get assistant interns open right now.
Huh.
You know, you're the guy who gets the lunch for the intern.
Okay.
So
lowly dog.
That's pretty low on the totem pole. That's like in the basement of the totem pole.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was the opening of our brilliant conversation. This is gonna be great, Peter. You're gonna have a good time. But yeah, so we talked about you a little bit before the break, creator of the Fling Mini and the Fling and stuff like that. I wanted to start off a little bit about your company. Like, so how many floors? How many dudes?
Well, 10-1 is real small. We feel like we're a like next generation company. We're distributed around the country, and we're We only have 4 or 5 people. We try to outsource as much as we can and do all of the design work in-house. And when I say in-house, I'm not kidding. Like, generally, I work from my house, and it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, that would be great, actually. I write from my house. It's fantastic. Do you work naked? I work naked.
Well, I work comfortably.
Okay.
Really tired.
I got tattered pants. I got the home pants on all the time. You know what I'm talking about? Like the sweatpants your wife doesn't want you to wear anywhere, ever?
Yeah, you know, I wish that working from home gave me more time to style myself and appear as a more put together, but I think it has the reverse effect, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting to find out that you guys were such a small outfit and working from home because it seems like people on the forums and in comments like have the impression that you guys are like a large company and, you know, all this stuff. And I was surprised to find out that wasn't true.
Yeah, I get that. I get that feeling too. You know, we don't want to like put a picture of our like house on the website and stuff. That's weird. But neither are we this large corporation trying to push product down to people's throat. You know, we're just trying to make cool stuff and do it as fast as we can.
And you've succeeded in that as well. Like everybody, by all accounts, loves to fling. And, you know, one thing I wanted to touch on today is, and it's a pretty broad question, but why the fling? Why make it? Like what was the idea behind it? Like what kind of gave you that desire to make some kind of a attachment for the iPad?
It was frustration. I mean, when I saw the first like first person shooter for iPhone and like later iPad, I was just like, wow, you know, mm-hmm. to be able to hold that sort of magic in your hands, that's incredible. But I was frustrated when I tried it because I felt the same thing that everyone else feels is that I'm always having to check where my fingers are and not sure whether I'm tapping the up button, the down button, or, you know, what's going on with the controls.
Mm-hmm. Is that your old intern right there? Is that what happens to them?
He's being flogged in the back.
Oh no!
Yeah, there's a, you know, we try to reward you if you do well, but if you don't, you're punished terribly.
I must stay out of that room, sir. It's really interesting. Like one of the things I like to rail on as a writer are virtual controls in general, and you know, it seems like. The fling is just the perfect control to remedy that, and it's astounding to see that. And you just made a smaller version of that, the Fling Mini.
Yeah, that's right. We were so happy with the feeling that Fling gives to gamers on the iPad that we thought, you know, can this be done? It was this big challenge for us. Can this be ported to a smaller screen? You know, because you have all kinds of very difficult problems when you try to go to a smaller screen. I mean, the display is smaller. You don't want things to get in between you and the display. And your thumbs are much, much bigger compared to an iPhone than they are compared to an iPad. So with this like in mind, we said, can it be done? And can it be done well? And so what we've got is Fling Mini. And when you look at it in the pictures, like, wow, it takes up the screen, but it's actually sort of see-through. So it allows you to, you know, still have a view of your screen while playing on it. So it's pretty good. I like it. I'm kind of a fan.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool when we tried it out. I mean, originally the first few photos you guys put out kind of made it look like it blocks like a ton of the screen, but you know, when you're actually playing with it, it's pretty good. Now, I shot a video on Tetricade to try to like get that point across, but I don't think too many people, you know, saw what I was trying to do with that.
But yeah, I think the people that aren't, there's just a group of people that are against that sort of thing, you know, which I mean, it's fine. It doesn't have to be for everybody. But the thing is you can't judge it until you've actually tried it. And I mean, trying it is like believing it, you know.
Yeah, do you think that is like, what do you think your biggest hurdle is with the Fling? Just getting it in people's hands, or?
Yeah, I think our first challenge was trying to get it into reviewers' hands who can, you know, feel it and then speak for the product to say, you know, I know you guys haven't tried this, but it's kind of good. And then the second challenge is to try to communicate the feeling of touching it just by looking at pictures. And it's really hard to do that on the website and kind of hard to do that in retail packaging. And we're still slowly refining our approach as we see how important it is to have that hands-on experience to really understand the benefits.
How many, like when we were at WWDC, you mentioned the amount of prototypes you guys went through to finally arrive at this design. I mean, do you want to talk about any of the stuff that you went through? Or
sure, yeah. We started the design process for Fling for iPad around late August last year. And honestly, you know, we tore apart as many analog joysticks as we could get our hands on. We ordered like 10 of them from Amazon, you know, just like started ripping them apart. Like, what makes it feel right? What makes it feel good? And what sort of mechanisms can we use and incorporate into this to give you that same feeling? So we went through a lot of prototypes that use springs and sort of rubber bands or elastic-based prototypes. And then we started working on... There was this one moment when it was sort of like a flash of, oh my gosh, I have an idea. Like, do you remember the spring... that spring type that you see in a clock or a watch, like a watch spring, and how you can wind it up and store energy in it. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it also work as an auto-centering mechanical spring? Mm-hmm. And from that point, we started focusing exclusively on that approach and narrowed it down and sort of fine-tuned the feeling. So we went through probably 20 to 25 mechanical prototypes before we were satisfied with the way it felt.
Now, is that counting all the different designs or just when you finally settled on like the spring type design?
That's counting all of the designs. For the spring, it's hard to say how much it was for the spring, but yeah. A lot of work went into it, a lot of sweat went into it. But we feel like it's worth it, you know, if the product is good and it feels good. And, you know, gamers spend a lot of time with games, you know, they spend a lot of time playing. You may play for like 4 or 5 hours at a time. So it's really worthwhile if you have something that feels fantastic and you can game longer with it, then it's worth it. It's worth putting that effort in.
How are you doing the prototyping process? Because you just mentioned at WWDC that you had just gotten a 3D printer in-house recently. What were you using before?
Yeah, getting the 3D printer was a huge relief. And for anyone out there who doesn't have a 3D printer, get one and they're totally fun. we were using Shapeways. Now, Shapeways, there are a lot of businesses in the States that are going to be able to do like custom 3D printing for you. It's an additive process. It's a little bit like squirting glue through a glue gun. Squirts out a little string of plastic and it builds it up layer by layer until you have a completed model of your design. There's places in the States that do this, but they often charge $200 or $300 every time, and it's it can really add up. So what we ended up doing is working with Shapeways, which is a really cool consumer-focused 3D printing website. And they're not in the States. I think they're actually like a startup offshoot of Philips. And they make incredibly cool 3D models of whatever design you send them, and they just ship them to you. So it takes a little bit longer, maybe takes about a week, but we were getting Shapeways deliveries every day or every other day for a while, trying to hone in on the right design.
Oh, wow, that's really cool. So like future products you think are going to be able to be done much quicker since you're able to do all the prototyping in-house?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Fling Mini was prototyped only in-house on a new machine.
Now, how long does it take your 3D printer to print out something like the Fling Mini?
The Fling Mini takes approximately 25 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So you go from having a new idea to a product in your hand in 25 minutes. It's pretty sweet.
Maybe I'm not the only guy in the room. Wow. Maybe the bearded one knows what's going on here. But I'm a little confused to what a 3D printer is. So let me ask you this. Say you wanted to pull the classic office prank and photocopy your butt. would it then print out a 3D picture of your butt?
Yeah, would you really do that with your butt, or would you find another appendage?
You know what? I kind of like this 3D printer thing.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
As soon as
they're
affordable, I'm getting
one. I want one in my house right now.
You can start signing 3D prints of your butt and sending them out to fans, Brad.
That's a good idea.
Autograph.
Well, now, as someone that does prototyping and product design using a 3D printer, I've kind of been following the 3D printer thing for a while, so this might be kind of a weird tangent, but do you think in the future that 3D printer piracy is going to be an issue for companies like yours? Like, if you can just download like the Fling Mini plans and just like print it out yourself and have like an actual physical product that you pirated?
Once the price of those printers gets low enough, it'll be an interesting occurrence, but I'm not sure it'll ever be a problem. I'm kind of a fan of that happening, though. So I'm split, because that's a really cool distribution system to say, you know, here's a design. Maybe you pay a dollar for it, like you download it like an app, and you print it out at home. And it saves all kinds of, you know, wasteful distribution and shipping and maybe even like production overruns and that sort of thing.
Oh, the future is going to be cool.
Sure is.
You know, speaking of the future, actually, one thing I wanted to ask about is, we're seeing increasingly more games support AirPlay and the different implementations of that is typically, you know, now the iPad is the controller straight up and you have that viewing on your TV and things like that. What do you think about that? Like, does that threaten you in any way? Do you think that's a great way to use the Fling as well? Like, or how do you see that kind of evolving, and where's your product, sit in there?
I almost fell off my chair at WWDC when they did that demo, because I was, you know, watching them use, I can't remember which app it was. It was Real Racing.
Right.
And, you know, steering on the iPad, and the game was being displayed on the large screen TV. So I was like, you know what, how great would it be to hold an iPhone in your hand with Fling Mini on it, and you have this great analog joystick feel, and you don't even need to look at your phone at that point. Your attention is focused on the television and you've got a game running on the TV. Mm. So I'm really excited for that use case. I know that it's probably not a mass market thing, but there will be people who this will work totally work for. So I'm totally excited.
Yeah, we got into a little bit of that talking about the Joypad app too, and using that with the Fling, and then displaying things on your TV. And it's just like, so many crazy possibilities for the people that are willing to like do those couple extra steps to get it running, basically playing games on your TV from your iPad or your iPhone or whatever. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, and Joypad, they have this really, really great opportunity as well, because they see, you know, one person playing a game on their phone and it's being displayed on the television. But what happens when a second player wants to join? And mm-hmm. You know, I see an opportunity there, or they see an opportunity there for them to boot up Joypad on their device and join in as a controller on the game that's running on the first iPhone.
Yeah, that's a really cool prospect.
I can't wait to give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you see future product development heading? Are you going to stay towards more? I mean, because right now you're kind of split between like the game side of things with Fling and the stylus side of things. I mean, which side are you guys going to focus on next, do you think?
Well, we've got products in development for both sides. We're really excited about both segments, really. I mean, it's incredible the sort of art that people are doing on the iPads, and we're blown away every time we see something new coming out. So we will continue to contribute tools to help artists do their work better on the iPad. At the same time, on the gaming side, we're actively researching even more and more involved and better ways to interact with touchscreens. So I guess I can't talk too much about what direction we're going there quite yet, but there's some really cool prototypes, you know.
Have you ever thought about trying to tackle like virtual buttons and make some sort of add-on that'll add like tactile button pushes or something like that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we've definitely thought about that.
That'd be kind of interesting.
It sure would.
That'd be kind of cool to have, you know, like the Super Nintendo style, like four buttons. So you could have like, you know, a fling on one side and then like the, I don't know, whatever you call like the button edition of fling on the other side, you know?
Yeah, something really solid that you wouldn't have to worry about like knocking off your screen or something. You can just really, because I love mashing on the buttons, you know, especially for like Tekken type games, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I got the perfect name for it. Bling. Bling. You got the bling.
Oh, the diamond-shaped buttons. That's great.
Straight up. If the joystick thing takes off, or the joypad thing takes off, like, you know, I think it might. I mean, that would be really cool to have, you know, like a specialized kind of like button array for that, you know?
Certainly, yeah. They have really cool skins that you can get for joypad, and maybe there would be an add-on that would work with one or more of those skins, like a physical button mashing bling. I love that bling. That's great.
Bling. Yeah.
Send all your money to my email address. We'll get in touch after the show.
I will. I'm typing it into PayPal right now.
Great. All right. $2 billion. I'll take no less.
Okay. That's low, but that's fine.
Well, you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time, Peter. Thank you so much for joining us this week and talking about the fling. Guys, did you have any last questions or anything like that? Or is there anything you wanted to talk about?
It's been great.
No, just everyone should go try out the fling because they're awesome. And you really can't realize that fully until you actually try it yourself. So go bug someone at your Apple store to throw a pair onto a display iPad or something.
Yeah, absolutely. You can check out 101 Design at 101design.com, and they have a Facebook and Twitter page too. That's /101design, respectively, right, Peter?
That's correct.
Awesome. And again, thank you so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
So, guys, what did we learn? We learned that it's possible to print a butt on a 3D printer, and Top Dog is going to try that out. I'm just going to start calling him Top Dog. I like that. I like that better than Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned that a small company can make a huge product.
Seem like a bigger company through a good product and even better packaging and marketing.
Exactly. I mean, their website looks hella professional. I mean, you look at it, and you don't get a sense at all, just truly how small it is. But I mean, they have the right kind of culture and obviously the right kind of structures to hold it up and make it something legitimate. You know?
Yeah. I mean, like if you looked at the fling packaging they have in the Apple Store, you would have never in a million years guessed that it like essentially came out of someone's apartment. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is just really cool. I think that they're able to do that.
I just found a 3D printer on eBay for $15,000, guys. I'm betting on it.
There you go.
Grab it.
That's it. And it looks big enough to put my butt on. This is...
Good.
Man!
Well, I'm relieved.
Eli, I think Touch Arcade needs a 3D printer. I will bet on it for us, all right?
I agree. agree fully.
Seriously, if we get one, we can send out autographed biceps, Brad biceps. We'll
absolutely.
Just make 3D prototypes of those, and then a 3D beard, maybe.
Yes!
Eli, what's your feature?
I don't know.
I know what this feature
goofy
is,
grin.
Ladies.
Goofy grin.
I like it. We can open up the Touch Arcade store. Eli, this stuff will pay for itself.
Yeah, a sarcastic eye roll in 3D.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, hey, you know, if you like what you heard today, you know, tell us about it. Definitely visit 101 Design. I mean, those products are awesome. You can check out Fling reviews on TouchArcade.com. And if you go to 101 Design's website, you can also check out different press reviews, too.
Yeah, and we've said it a couple times in the show, but like if you are one of the people that find yourselves outraged by the fling, like you really just need to go to an Apple store, politely ask to try one, and I'm sure they'll let you check it out on the iPad, and it will like change what you think about it. I mean, really.
Agree.
I feel like I've repeated myself like a million times saying that, but you know.
You know, the mere existence of the fling joypad is enough to drive some people to madness. And it's kind of crazy. It's like, hey, even if you don't like it, just, it's, you know, let it live.
Yeah.
No,
it's the internet, right?
Can we license Let It Be for the theme song?
Let It Be.
I'm on that after I get the 3D printer, though. First things first, guys.
I think that probably costs more than a 3D printer.
Well, anyway, thank you again for joining us. If you want to get in touch with us, podcast at TouchArcade.com. You're going to obviously read our website, TouchArcade.com, and visit us on the Twitters and the Facebooks and the YouTubes. It's always /TouchArcade. So anything
you can think of. Oh, don't forget to rate.
Yeah, definitely rate us on iTunes. You know, we are an explicit podcast, so sometimes we'll say a naughty word or two just in casual conversation. We don't do it to be edgy. But hey, if you don't like that, don't rate us. How about that? We're kind of an explicit podcast. I mean, it's implied that we'll occasionally say something explicit. Until next time, which is this Friday, actually, we'll be out. We'll be ghost. And you can expect another probably bonus episode of the Touch Arcade Show next week with some cool cats. And hopefully the week after that, too. We're still getting some stuff firmed up. But, yeah, catch you next time.